Welcome to the Godsey Girl Podcast, inspiration and encouragement for all women, inside and outside ministry.
Hi, I am back with you and I'm so happy. You know what? I was thinking about so many things. You know, honestly, I haven't did a podcast in a while, and so I uploaded one and it didn't work. And I was like, okay, something's wrong with these podcast platforms. It was me. And so many times it's really the problem always kind of points back to us in some level. And it made me think, because I really was angry. I was like, why aren't they showing my podcast? And had all these attitudes going on in my head and in my heart, only to find out it was user error. It was me. And that is the way we often are in life, right? We get mad at everybody else. We get mad at our husbands, our kids, our friends, our church families, only to find out that we played a role in it. And usually the problem with that is it's after we've spewed venom into the world, then we find out the Holy Spirit kind of reveals to us that, you know what, you had a role. And so fortunately, I had no venom. I didn't contact the platforms. I almost did and said, you guys are, what's wrong with my podcast? You know, I almost put it out there, but thank the Lord, figured it out before I could. And it made me think of a scripture that I was led to today. And it says, my heart overflows with a good theme. And that is actually Psalm 45:1. And I love it because really it's about, it says here that it's a song celebrating the king's marriage. And I thought about marriage always brings happiness at the beginning, right? And then you get into it. Literally and figuratively, you get into it and marriage takes on a whole other place, right? And it's so easy to forget our role in the struggle or our role in the atmosphere of that house, but we easily blame the other person. And if we're not careful, we put it out there. My son recently got married and hopefully he doesn't know about my podcast. I'm serious. You guys probably think I'm joking, but I operate to some degree in silence on purpose because then I could talk my business and nobody will be mad. But I had a chance to talk to my sweetie pie and my new sweetie pie, my new daughter-in-law, and we were talking and it just organically went to marriage, talking to them about marriage and the struggles of marriage. I don't know anything. I have no reason to say this, and you know, I'm not being shady because I know something, so I'm talking about it. I don't know what's going on in their house, and I keep it that way. That's the way it rolls. But I will tell you, marriage is a struggle, and it's a challenge every day. Every step of the way, you're going to have to fight to make sure your heart overflows with a good theme instead of allowing bitterness, anger, or anything else to take place and take root in your heart. It's an intentional effort. I will tell you, though, when you get married, there's no way around it. You're going to have a hard time. I'm going to be honest with you. Unless you live in like a 23 bedroom mansion and you don't have to see that joker, then maybe you won't have the hard time that most normal, average, everyday people have as it pertains to a marriage relationship, because you don't see them. Anybody I don't see, I can get along with. That's why it always kind of cracks me up. Guys, have you heard of those celebrities who have been married a long time? I won't name names because it feels like it would be poor integrity, but have you heard of those celebrities who have been married 40 years and they get on television and brag about their 40-year marriage or their 30-year marriage only to find out that they live in different states? I could stay married to anybody if they live in another state, right? I could get along with anybody. It's the doing of the life. is where the challenge comes in. That's where it gets hard, when we are in fellowship and intimacy and communion day in, day out. That's where the magic of becoming one flesh really happens. So it's kind of hard to see it as a positive, especially if you're fairly new at being married. It's hard to see it as a positive when you're in the midst of the struggle, right? But that's how the becoming of one flesh is happening. That's what makes it happen. The getting to know one another, to bumping into one another emotionally, to actually sparring with one another, not literally. No man should hit a woman. The minute a man hits or puts his hands on a woman in any way, let's be clear, he becomes very ugly. Okay, that's unattractive. That is to the point where I personally, this might be a problem for some people, but I personally believe that when a man is in an abusive situation with a woman or vice versa, that marriage, that relationship, the marriage may not be over, that relationship needs to halt. Everybody needs to separate, because your life is never worth being put in jeopardy because you're being abused. Never, ever, ever. There's no reason. I don't care how much you love him. No man is attractive if he's got a baseball bat hitting you upside your head. He become ugly real quick. Okay? Get out of there. All right? Tell people. And so anyway, all that to say is, I mean the sparring, I mean emotional, verbal sparring, the back and the forth. That's honestly the most excruciating thing. The cold wars where you don't talk to each other and it's just coldness. But it's part of the coming together. It has to happen. But you don't have to be ugly while it's happening. You don't have to be a jerk. Okay? You're still a Christian woman. You're still a Christian. You still behave like a Christian. Even in your battle, you act like a Christian should act. But at the same time, you don't act ugly and you don't be mean. But you have to sometimes bump those heads to kind of figure each other out and to learn what's important. And it's like with Plato, you know, not the philosopher, but Plato. It's like with Plato, when you want to make a big old ball, you have to kind of get it and you squeeze it and you press these pieces together until they become one. It's the same thing with marriage. There's a squeezing, there's a pressing that happens for things to be, for you guys to kind of compact together and become one flesh. So I think that what happens often is people quit too soon. They quit too soon. They're going through the squeezing and the pressing and they get a divorce, big dummy. You know, and I'm divorced, don't get me wrong. But my situation, I'll talk about it one day. It was a little different. But I will tell you, it wasn't, I'm not justifying. I'm going to be clear. Marriage should be forever. But there were some scenarios that I'm going to be very careful about out of respect for that person that I didn't feel 100% okay. All right, I'll just say that. But yeah, so moving forward, I will say though that people give up too soon. And people who have genuine love and understand what commitment is will often quit before they get a chance to morph into that one flesh. Because I'm gonna tell you something that's gonna freak you out. Arguing and disagreeing in marriage in a Christian way, it's normal. And it has to happen. It's necessary. I wouldn't want to be married to a man who never expressed himself and only said, yes, dear, all the time. You know, not only to keep the peace, but you know what I mean? But not to express himself or share himself. No, my husband and I, in those early years, honey, I can tell you, it was not pretty. We've had some hard seasons. And I didn't say hard. I said hard seasons in the beginning of our marriage. And I don't care who you are. Being a pastor does not exempt you from it. Being a pastor's wife does not exempt you from it. But looking back, I thank God for those times. I'm telling you, it was during those times that he morphed us together somehow. It's a mysterious thing, you know, but he morphed us together. He made us one. It was during those times that God used my husband as spiritual sandpaper to rub off and to file down my selfishness, my ego, all those kinds of things. It was the same with him. And God uses this marriage institution as a way to mature you. You know what? I used to always say jokingly, and I've probably even said it in the podcast, that when I was single, I was super Christian, honey. It was easy to forgive people when I was single. It was easy to have peace in my home when I was single because it was just me and my little boy there. So it was easy. When you get married, honey, you put out your spiritual hard hat and you put it on your head and you go into construction of building a marriage. So I want you to be patient, you know, because it's hard. Keep a good theme in your heart about your marriage, about your husband, about your life, because the minute your heart gets dark and bitter and crusty, that's the minute you become very bitter. A root of bitterness will take place. That's one of the reasons why we can't let anger stay too long. You know the scripture that says, don't let anger, don't go to bed, basically let the sun go down on your wrath? I honestly, seriously don't believe that's a literal scripture. I'm not a theologian, but I got a brain. And I know that sometimes you are going to go to bed angry. I really believe it's okay because I am a very emotional person. And so I need to go to bed angry sometimes, because if I act in the moment of my emotion, I will say something that's bad. I will do something that's bad. I need a good night's sleep between me and that situation sometimes. And have you noticed when you wake up, it looks differently? But, you know, I think the key is to, you gotta tell the dude that you are going to sleep on it. Okay, you're going to say, let's sleep on this. You know, I love you. We're good. Let's sleep on this. And here's a joke. I actually learned this from Marie Osmond. She said it on publicly that that's what her and her husband do, because she needs a minute to kind of deal with some things. And even me, I need a minute to self-assess myself and to kind of see what I've done, where I've been, and how guilty I am. And I can't do that when I'm in the moment trying to make somebody finish something that, you know, we all need a minute to get away from. So I think that it's good to say, you know what, we're not going to fall out about this, like my husband used to say. Now he doesn't have to say it because we don't have that issue anymore. We still disagree, but we don't have those heated issues anymore. But I will tell you, just say, you know what, I need a minute. I'm not going to let the sun go down on my wrath, but I need a moment to sleep on this. Because otherwise, you know, don't say that part, but say this part. Say otherwise to yourself, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to take your face and squeeze it like silly putty. So let me go take a nap and let me go to sleep so the Holy Spirit can work on me. Okay. So I really think that it's important, very, very, very important that you allow the Holy Spirit to work. You know, the Bible is our guide and it's what we listen to. But I seriously do not think that it means that I got to make peace before I go to bed with this joker. Because some situations you'll be up till 6 o'clock in the morning and you got to go to work the next day. You don't have time for that, right? So use wisdom. But the theme in your heart, don't always try to believe the best about him. You know, when my husband bothers me to this day, there are things that he'll do that aggravate me a little bit. I literally am intentional about asking myself, did he mean to do that? Did he mean to preach about me? You know, usually it doesn't bother me, but I don't love a lot of my life in sermons. But did he mean to? What was his intention? And that's a good theme. That helps me because I know him well enough to know he does not mean me any harm. And even if he forgot to do something I told him to do, or he forgot to show up somewhere, which doesn't ever happen hardly anymore. But it's like I have to ask myself, did he mean to do that? And 9 times out of 10, I'll say 99.9 times out of 10, he didn't mean to. He's just human. He made a mistake. Or sometimes he's grouchy when he comes home, or I'm grouchy when he comes home. And, you know, we're gruff with each other. And you walk away and it's like, did he mean to be that way? Did he wake up this morning and say that I am going to mess up her whole day, you know, with this or that? No. And your husband probably doesn't either. And if he does, that means bitterness is there somewhere, and sometimes an unhealthy state of being, which I don't even comment on because I'm not a counselor. But I will tell you, keep a good theme in your heart about your husband, about your family, about your church family. I mean, just wonder to yourself, you know, is it possible that they didn't mean to? And sometimes, yes, people do mean to hurt us. And then you have to go on another branch. It has to branch out another direction. And I was telling someone just the other day, I think it was my son, I was saying that a lot of people do the things that they do because they were hurt. They were damaged. They were broken in some way. And I remember someone hurt me so badly years ago from my church. I mean, hurt me to the core. And I remember she said to me, she said, "I've been through a lot." And she started to go through some of the things she had endured in her life that made her a little bit untrusting of people. And it helped me so much to know that she's only responding to the pain that she's endured. Do you know the people that hurt you the most have been through so many horrible things? And as a result, the residue is still in their life and it plays out in these vitriol ways. So you need to have some compassion and give people the best benefit of the doubt. Have a good theme in your heart towards them, because you may never know the horrid things people have endured. That coworker at work may have been raped several times by the same family member. That will affect people who don't allow God to heal that. There's someone who may have been shot several times by a mate, and it makes them a little mistrustful. You know what? You gotta really believe the best and then give some people a little slack when you don't know what their issue is. Give them a little slack. Just maybe something happened that was so horrific that it impacted their life to this day. Now, I have watched, I'm big on documentaries and big on movies and that are about lives, people's lives. And very often we see such only one dimension of a person. But when you hear their life and you crack open their life like an egg and you see what comes out, girl, you will be like, no wonder she's like that. No wonder he's like that, you know, and it does help you to be a little bit more tolerant of other people's experiences, right? Yes, I think so. So I want you to let your heart overflow with a good theme. If you are newly married, I want you to hang in there. I want you to show grace, the same grace that you say you ascribe to as a Christian. Show that grace in your home. Believe the best about your husband. Save those smiles that you give in Sunday morning. Save those smiles for him too, okay? Because the truth of the matter is, you cannot be an outside Christian only. You've got to be an inside Christian too. You know what I mean by that? You got to be a Christian in your home. Can't be no big old fat hypocrisy written person walking around talking about you love Jesus and you full of the devil with your own husband. I haven't done it, because honestly, when we were having trouble, all you had to do is look at my face. Now that wasn't right, and I think that's why God had me sit in we had a fellowship hall in our old church, and for months I felt like God was telling me to sit in the fellowship hall. Now I can't remember why or what was going on in my marriage at that time. It might have been fine, but it might have been too for him to humble me and to get my eyes, get people's eyes off of me. I think that God does things for so many reasons. You know, I don't know, but I will tell you that it was for a reason. It was for a reason. And looking back, I wonder if I was having trouble in the home at that time. And God was like, I can't have you side-eyeing him while he trying to preach, even though he act crazy at home. I don't know. But bottom line is, you know, don't let that stuff seep into your reality, okay? I hope this helps somebody. I hope, if nothing else, you tough it out and you stay in there. Hang in there. Do not give up on your marriage too soon. It's going to be bad, because what will happen is you'll go find somebody else with a whole new set of problems. I always say, stick with the crazy you know. At least I know how he works. I know how she manages, you know, if you're a husband. Stick with it. Stick with it, because in the end, there is a beautiful union that happens when that Play-Doh is squished together and you got one thing going on. It's a beautiful, beautiful existence that I tell you, if you would have showed me my marriage back when we first got married, those first maybe 3-4 years, I wouldn't have believed it. I would have said we would be like, what? I don't like him. So we would be like, what? And he would be like, I can't stand her. We would be like, what? And we laugh about it now. So when we talk to our son and our beautiful daughter-in-law, we laughed about it. And we said, man, God has made something so amazing out of this marriage. And it's bulletproof. God has blessed it. And you can get there too. You just cannot quit. You don't have the luxury of quitting. Remember, everybody goes through what you're going through. Everybody struggles with it. You ain't special in that regard, okay? So hang in there. Thank you for listening. I should tell you too, my YouTube channel has gone. I took it down because I had somebody that was creeping me out a little bit. And so, not big time, but just, yeah, I took it down. So, yeah, I don't have a YouTube channel anymore. So this is my voice to you. So I hope you definitely will give me a review. Let me know if it worked, if it didn't work, if you liked it, if you didn't like it. I really want to know. And help me be better. Because all in all, my only effort here is to somehow be a blessing to somebody and to be an encouragement to somebody. That's my effort. That's my hope. That's my air right now. So let me know what you think. It will bless me so much to know that I'm blessing you. So hit 4 stars, give me a review, and that will help me. I love you. God bless you. You stay married. Okay? Bye-bye. Hey, thank you for listening. Remember, you can find me at godzygirl.com. And don't forget to check out the Godzy Girl t-shirts. You can Google Godzy Girl Tees or find me any way you can. And I'm also on Instagram at godzygirlisme. And we do a lot of chuckling and giggling. Hey, don't forget the Godzy Girl Facebook page. It's Godzy Girl, living life His way. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly, richly bless your life.